doing a special now, like in the year 2024, the podcast circuit has to be worse than the late night or the old promotion, right?
I feel that, you know, it's funny because, you know, I never had a podcast, and I know you guys, like, you know, this is your thing. This is what you do.
Well,
you know,
we're not excited about it. Most of us
I think you guys, the thrill is gone.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're all adults. So you got, like, wives and girlfriends and, like, you know, you got a place and a dog and all that. So, like, it's not this kind of, like, you know, hey, man, we're going to, like, hang out. Sorry, there's, like, dirty underwear. You know, it's like, you know, you guys have grown
up. Sorry, let me finish this beer, and then we'll start talking about.
That's done.
Now it's just pleasant conversations for other people to listen to.
Well, it's also, like, when I was out in L.A., you know, I did Bert and Tom, Two Bears, and Mark Maron. You know, these guys, I know these guys. They're really cool to help me promote. But it was, like, the worst weather, and I'm driving a rental car through, like, flooding conditions, and I'm, like, dying to do podcasts. Like, I'm dying, actually. I might die doing a podcast, you know?
Yeah, the way old sailors would lose their lives to find
a
land.
But in L.A., that's, like, a righteous death. Like, hey, he was going to a podcast. He had to go, you know?
Give him a 21 retweet salute. Yeah, that's what they're going
to
do.
So, I'm glad to, like, you know, I don't know how you guys do it. I think it's a lot of work to do these things.
What's great about this is, you know, Mike does a lot. He does the actual work, and I just sit here and talk to my friends. So it's not...
Well, that's cool.
I can't complain about this.
And you get to do it from your house.
Yeah, I just do it right from home.
And this is a 1-2 punch for me because I have a very dear friend right across the street, Dwayne Reed. I think you know him. And then we might go down to another guy, Trader Joe's.
Oh, all the buds live in this neighborhood.
There you go.
Do you smoke in a rental car?
What?
Do you smoke in a rental car?
I do.
Yeah, I love it. I used to smoke in my rental cars. Is there a thing you do?
I smoke cigarettes, by the way. I don't know if that's...
I smoke weed in my rental car.
Really?
Yeah, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, so I just smoke weed in the rental car.
Wow.
But I think the weed smell goes away much faster than the cigarette.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Is there a thing you do, like Osium or anything, before you return the car?
I do that. I also... I bring in like a exorcism. I have a guy read the Bible in there.
You have an old Roman Catholic. Yeah. You have an old Roman Catholic priest come in and bless the car.
I just like, can you get this evil out of the car?
Have they ever said anything to you when you return the car?
Well, I don't know if you're like setting me up for failure, but
I'm just genuinely.
To be
asking.
Honest, I'm not the greatest driver, and now that I'm getting older, I have to wear special glasses to drive at night.
Yeah,
and you know the guys that I tour with, who you know really well, Louis Katz.
Yeah, his great episode's comic, coming out in like 2 weeks.
You know, Ian Fidan, like. All the different people I go, they don't like when I drive, so they will drive instead of me driving. Like it doesn't matter. They'd rather them drive 6 hours than me drive 2 hours. That's how bad a driver.
How old were you when you got your license?
I was driving before I had a license.
Really?
Like, because it was Long Island. I worked for my dad, so we had to get back and forth. So it was like one of those, like, he's got a learner permit, but, you know, like, we need him here at the store. So let's just give him the car, you know, and I would just
go. So were you, like, 15?
About 15, 16. We all, like, learned. We all, like... had to drive, so we did drive, and like, you know, we had like all these clunker cars, so nobody really cared.
Yeah, if you banged up it, they're like, we don't give a shit.
Nobody cares.
It's a hunk.
And we also like, what was going to say, you know, driving back then, you know, on Long Island, drinking and driving was like, you know, important. Like, you know, we all did it.
Yeah.
So now, you know, like in a car, like I'm so nervous, especially in New York, where it's like, there's so much stuff going on here. Like, I don't know how these kids get high or whatever and drive around here. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It racks you with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like driving in New York City where everything's coming out of everywhere. Even when you're like turning on right and you have the light, people could still be...
Oh, for hours.
Yeah, it sucks. It definitely sucks. But I always wanted to know if there was like a rental car place that you returned and they're like, did you smoke
a whole pack? I've been banged for it.
One of my favorite stories that Big J told me was it was right when they made smoking in all hotel rooms illegal.
Yeah.
And Jay told me a story that you guys were checking into a hotel he was opening for you.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's a $250 fee if you smoke. And you were like, I'll just pay the fee.
Yeah.
I'll pay right now. And they didn't understand. They were like, no, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? That
No, because I thought it was like, you know, it's like a fine,
yeah.
But then I could smoke the whole weekend. But you get that a lot. Like, there's no hotels you can smoke anymore. Yeah. In fact, I think even the Red Roof Inns have decided to say.
When did they get so
uppity?
They
used to be like really like no rules. But
Red Roof Inn was like, as long as there's a roof, anything under it goes.
It was like wrestling there. You know, anything went. But I was going to say, what was it? In L.A., where everybody is high. Everybody's smoking pot all the time. It's just weird how they like, we'll fine you $500 and this and that.
They get mad about cigarettes. That's the one thing, you know, I quit drinking 11 years ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, really, is it though? Is it? Grab an orb. Thank you. An orb of justice. These things even turn on anymore.
Here's your golden globe.
I want to smoke so much weed? More than I want. No, cigarettes. Oh. More than I want to drink again.
Wow.
Like, I miss cigarettes, and they're kind of becoming popular again.
Yeah, I heard that the kids, the scenesters, are smoking again.
Cool kids. It always starts with cool kids.
It starts with the Ozempic. Yeah. And now that they're all thin and slick.
They go, we're hot, let's smoke. We're all hot, young, and fuckable. How old are you when you start smoking cigarettes?
I smoked like in my teen, like a little bit, but I always had like bronchitis and stuff like that. But I really hit it hard in my 20s. That's really when I started.
Was it because of comedy? It was just easier?
I think it was. It was also like, you know, other so much downtime and like, you know, like nothing's better than booze and cigarettes together, if you ask me.
There
and
is
now,
nothing.
Now it's just booze and coffee. I'm sorry, coffee and cigarettes.
Which is the second best combo.
It's all right. I mean, I'm so old now. It really is. You know, my sleep is terrible. Like for this one, I was like so excited because I didn't have to go to see my mom in the hospital or anything like that. I was like, oh, cool, man. I get to stay up late. You know, it's like not that I was going to go to sleep early, but it's like staying up till 8 in the morning, just drinking coffee. You know, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm not an air traffic controller. Why am I doing this?
You
know,
you don't give a shit. No one's life's in your hands.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, it's just like bad habits, you know, and I think the road also does that because I've had weekends, I'm sure you've had it too, where like you land, you unpack, you do the show, and then you don't sleep again until you actually get back to your own place.
Yeah, I don't think you sleep comfortably until you get home. Like, no. I just did 2 weekends, and then my grandma died, so I had to clean out her place.
Oh, wow.
So I had to go do that in between, and I wasn't sleeping at all. I mean, I would lay down and try to go to bed, but it wasn't until I got home and went to sleep on Monday that I was like, oh, that was actual real sleep.
And here's the things in hotels now. I saw it right after the pandemic when no one was in the hotels, and you ever go into the room and like you turn the shower and just like brown comes out, like no one had touched that shower for 2 years.
You had to let it run.
Yeah. For like, like a month, basically. Yeah. It was that bad. And now I notice that like all the other stuff is falling apart. Like the, you know, the TVs don't work.
Yeah.
The air conditioning, like it's just rattling.
That's crazy.
It's
terrible.
It's like, actually fire is coming out of the air conditioning. It's like one of those, and then you question them about it. Hey, is there something going on here? And they're like, no one's complained.
The line is,
the guy, it's you, not us.
We'll send an engineer.
Yes.
Which means if you have anything personal out, you gotta hide it, because there's gonna be a guy in your room just going through your, like looking at your stuff. I hated that.
Yeah.
I couldn't get hot water in Cleveland. I was at Hilarities.
That sounds like a great title for something.
Hot water in Cleveland?
Yeah.
That's a blues album.
That's so what did you do? Did you change
rooms? Called and I was like, hey, the hot water is not running. And they're like, we'll send an engineer up. And I was like, I'll just take a shower in cold water. I would rather.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, I let it run for like 5 minutes and then it came back on.
Well, that's the thing when you're like, oh, sorry, it's my fault.
Dude, that happens all the time. I think something's broken in a hotel, and I'll call downstairs, and they're like, it's probably not.
Well, how about like when you have to move rooms and you've already unpacked, everything is like the way you want it, and then it's like, okay, I'll move rooms, and now you're like walking through the hotel with like, you got like your snacks, you got your stuff on hangers.
Yeah, it's, you have two weird shirts on at the same time.
It's weird.
Kate Middleton, is she dead?
What?
Is Kate Middleton dead?
Where did that come from?
I just want to know.
Oh, you mean because of the AI? And stuff?
I want to know about it. Yeah, because it's a conspiracy that we're big into in this house.
Wow.
Because they've already kind of, as Katie calls it, soft launched Prince William's mistress.
They're already like,
this woman. There's a woman that she's like, they have one of those British names, like the Sontonberry of Glastonbury.
Oh, titled.
It's like she's like a titled woman.
Wow.
But there's like rumors that she is the prince's mistress.
Really?
And they haven't seen Kate Middleton since Christmas. That's why.
What
that
about
AI,
that picture with her in the paper?
But that's why they had to pull it, because it was AI. It was edited.
Oh.
And they caught the Photoshop mistake.
God, I hope that's not true, because I really like her. I thought that she really kind of energized that family there. Yeah. I was like, man, he met this woman. She's like, seems like pretty normal. You know, she's an attractive woman, you know, accomplished.
Well, she's
dead. Wow.
No, that's, I don't know if she's dead.
And what about those kids? Are they doing okay?
I don't know. I mean, that's got to be the worst family to have something go wrong in, because they're like, we're not going to let anybody know the truth.
Well, the king, of course, isn't feeling good either.
No, they're all fucked up.
Wow.
That's why they do those adrenochrome parties where they suck the bait. I'm
sorry. I didn't know that was the conspiracy of the house.
Start getting you into QAnon. I go, now, really, where does it follow? But I think it's funny that they put out a picture of her on British Mother's Day.
Yes.
And then they were like, oh, no, it's edited. And then they made the palace made a statement where she was like, yeah, I was just messing around with Photoshop. Like, but they're bad at covering it up.
But they haven't seen her live.
She hasn't been public since Christmas.
Wow.
And in one picture, they're like, here she is driving in a car, but she's like turned sideways.
Yeah, I get it. Well, stay on top of that up for me, okay?
I will. I'm going to keep you updated.
We're running a newsroom here.
I'll keep you abreast.
Please.
Next coming in.
Okay.
TikTok being banned. Go.
Interesting, because as a promoter of a special now, TikTok is important.
Yeah.
And, like, I've seen those clips on it, and I think the one thing TikTok does well is short.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm like, this is good for me because I got like short jokes, you know? That's why my special's short too. It's like 37 minutes. I'm like, no one has the attention span anymore for an hour. So we talked about this, I think, one time at the Cellar. Like,
who
watches a whole hour anymore? People watch 50 minutes and they either say it was great or they turn it off. And like, I'm like, 37 minutes seems right. And now I'm like, even that's too long. I think like a good 15 minutes would be the way to go.
We're going to start doing 2-minute specials.
Something like that.
Closes, two jokes.
I mean, I think all of our attention span is done. Like, I'm watching like all these TV shows, like Masters of Air. Have you seen that one on Apple? It's about like the bomber guys.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
It's really, really good. But it's like, you know, you got to take a break, got to look at other things.
Or you look at your phone.
Yeah. Well, you know, luckily, you know, I still have the flip phone.
I love it.
That's why I haven't heard much about this Kate thing. You know, I'm still,
look at that. Look at that.
Evidently the queen is very sick. That's how slow the Wi-Fi is.
On your old phone.
Yeah.
They're going to call you just from the landline.
It's quite all right.
David, I'm fine.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Okay.
Shoot.
You're on the road.
Yeah.
Right? You and Louis were telling me you're doing the, you know, like you're out there doing the road. How much road are you doing? Like how long are you out there?
2 weeks a month.
That's not bad.
2 to 3 weeks a month.
Yeah.
I don't do the whole month. I'll take one weekend for the city.
Yeah.
And then usually like 2 to 3 on the road.
I'm always like, you know, I'm out here, blah, blah, blah. You know, we add shows, you know, hopefully they sell out. Both. And then I'm like, I got to get back to the city. And to be honest, I think I'm getting more accomplished on the road than I am in the city. I'm not really.
You don't like city?
Some of the shows lately, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because it's more of a touristy crowd or whatever it is. But my crowd gets it and they don't mind when I'm like out there, you know, swinging, trying to come up with stuff.
Yeah, trying new stuff.
Like in the city here, it seems like there's a lot of. The moaning and groaning seems to be coming back.
Have you noticed, when was the moaning and groaning the worst before? Like 90s?
No, I would say that was kind of the end of the good times. And then it became like, you know, just pretty much a lot of filtering of comedy. You know
really?
What I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, when I work with Jeff all the time, I'm always like, we can't do that. You know, I'm like, he's got the balls in that situation. He's like, no, it's funny, do it. But I'm always like, no, I could see somebody getting upset. You know, that's not right.
That's crazy because I would never think that you have that thought. Because, I mean,
I'm always like, you know, you can always rewrite it better, you know, that kind of thing. But still, like, your initial, like, thing that you come up with, or especially on the fly, is usually the one thing that'll you know, you're like, oh no, you can't do that, you know, even though like everyone laughed.
Yeah, but I think you can. I think we're at the page, I think we're returning now.
Yeah, it's like
to where you can say whatever the fuck you want. Are you worried about AI at all when it comes to like there's rumors
AI that, keeps coming up over and over
again. Well, it's everywhere. People are now I'm hearing people are using it to write jokes.
Well, what is it? That's the whole point. It's like, what is it? Is it an actual computer? Is there a robot somewhere that's doing that? Like, what is it? So
I think it's a program that they teach to
like
take
chatbot. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, like chatbot, where they take things, everything that's ever made, and then they like produce a new.
Sure. Well, this is what I've said before on multiple podcasts. Is that hey, there might be a computer program that can write poetry and music, but can it work at a coffee shop?
No.
Till it makes it. No. I don't think so.
That would
can
be
it
great.
Live off a girlfriend in Brooklyn till it makes it? No.
That would be awesome if AI had to have a day job before it could do comedy. You're like, you can't.
The frustrated.
Yeah. It's got to wait tables at a cafe and then it might be able to write jokes.
But you know, AI should also have that defensive mechanism where like people call it out on the plagiarism. It's like, no. I never read that. It's nothing like that. Hey, well, you're only saying that because I'm a this.
One zero 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 one.
This is bullshit. And then it like walks out of the room and makes the noise.
Yeah. It goes, fuck this. You don't, then if you don't appreciate me, I'm fucking gone.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Cause I don't think, I mean, like.
Writes jokes. It does all those different things. I mean, like, look at the crowds. Do they really, you know, like some crowds, my crowd loves to joke. You know, I was talking to Norman and Sam. Those guys joke, you know, like Louis Cat. They're all joke guys.
Yeah.
And like, to me, it's like, you know, if it writes better the jokes, then than us, then, you know, maybe that's something we have to step our game up. But, you know, it's not like we're going to be able to, like, go head-to-head against AI, like in a game of Go or anything, you know?
That would be funny if 5 years from now it's like me, you, Sam, and Mark versus four robots.
Well, what it is doing, it's definitely killing jobs, that's for sure. It's killing a lot of jobs.
They said it's going to eliminate, one guy said it, he thinks in the next 5 years AI will eliminate 70% of animation jobs.
Really?
So people that are working on animated movies, shows, small stuff, even commercials, they're going to be gone because they're going to be able to do it so fast with AI.
Well, what about the...
Cooking is not my strong suit, okay? I'm not good at cooking. I'm too dumb for it, but I need to eat, just like you need to eat. So why don't you get some Factor ready-to-eat meals? They come prepared, and they're prepared. They're pre-made, but they're ready to make... Dude, Myrtle's freaking out because she knows Dan's leaving. She's like, not my friend! But eating is better with easy Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Fresh, never-frozen meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there's over 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled and get you good all day long. So go check out Factor's ready-to-eat meals. I keep like slowing down because you want to be like, are they ready to eat? And then they are. And you're like, oh shit, this is awesome. This is the kind of stuff I need. 2 minute meals, fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. There's no prep, no mess. Flexible to your schedule, and that's what you want. You want stuff that's going to help out your schedule. So get as much as you like or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. It's the perfect solution for looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/soder50 and use code soder50, that's soder50, to get 50% off. That's code soder50, S-O-D-E-R-5-0, at factormeals.com/soder50 to get 50% off. That's a hell of a deal. I'm on the road. I'm leaving this little fatso back here in New York. End of the month, I will be at Zany's in Nashville, Thursday through Saturday, one of my favorite clubs, March 28th through the 30th. Then next month, I'll be headed to old Omaha, Nebraska. Listen, I know we have beef from the Colorado-Nebraska days. I didn't even go to see you. I just grew up rooting for him. But I am excited to come back to the Omaha Funny Bone April 11th through the 13th. And then I'll be at the DC Improv April 19th through the 21st. Go to dansoder.com for those tickets and go to youtube.com and watch On the Road, my special. It keeps her fed. Isn't that right? Yeah. Fuck, this dog rules.
What were they saying? Like, that now is a great time to have tech skills, like in terms of like you're able to do stuff with your hands, like you're a carpenter. It's like all those old, you know, like blacksmithing, all those kind of skills are gonna
trade
be
school.
Yeah, because it doesn't have hands yet.
Yeah,
you know.
So. Well, I don't know. Have you seen those Boston Dynamic robots?
Oh, I love that.
They showed it once, and it was just like walking around, and you're like, oh, that's cool. And now it like sits down, shoots a basketball, writes.
Crazy.
It's scary.
Well, I hate to. You know, brag, but when I was with Ian Vidan in Vegas, we were playing Wise Guys, great club, by
love
the way.
Love Wise Guys.
So we went to the BattleBot Arena.
Oh, yeah. They got BattleBots in
Vegas?
That's where
that show finally landed in Vegas, within walking distance of the Sphere. So it's kind of like a futuristic world over there. And they have the arena there. And like Ian, of course, who is over the top, you know, he said, we're going in as VIPs. So we had like a special little area, and they asked us for one drink.
Were there like robot waiters?
I think you get a backstage tour, but I go, please, come on, let's get out of here. But it was just funny to see the robots going at each other. And I'm like, where's the trash talk with all this AI and stuff like that? Why don't they you're nothing but like a Rumba with a blah blah.
Your mother was a dustbuster.
Yeah, and that kind of, where's all that fun?
I wonder if when the robots eventually take over, the humans that are left are like, you used to cockfight us, and BattleBots will be there, like, you know, they're cockfighting.
Well, it's funny how the BattleBot You know, like you can get the best of both worlds. You can go see BattleBots with a stripper. You can go see, you can buy fentanyl and go see a BattleBot.
Yeah, and Bono might be there doing wall music. Yeah. I love it. I love that.
Is that what you call the Sphere, wall music now? Yeah,
that's what it's wallpaper music. Oh, okay. They just changed the wallpaper. Because Bono's one of those guys that does so many nice things, but also doesn't seem nice.
He's just aloof.
Yeah.
Bono's like God himself. He's just a little, you know, he's not emotionally attached.
Bono, you're like, I understand you're doing good things, but you're also kind of coming off like a dick.
Well,
it's like when they put the album on our phones.
Oh, right, right. Oh, that was years ago, right?
Yeah. But that's a kind of the moves that you two do.
I remember listening to that with the real Kate Middleton. So I'm trying to bring it circle around.
I love it.
For editing.
I hope, editing for Mike. I really hope the Royal Crown reaches out to you and they're like, do you know anything?
Do you watch that show, The Crown?
No, that's way too boring. That's like Downton Abbey.
I like a nice period. I'm watching Shogun. Have you seen this?
I watched the first episode. It's
great, dude.
It's great. And I didn't know it was a remake.
Yeah, no, the original one in the 70s. When I was a kid, I was like, man, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And that was like at the height of Benihana's, too. So like, you could be like, let's go down there and sword fight. Happening.
Yeah, it was like Ninja Fever.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, I got to learn more about Japan.
You got to give it up for them in that haircut.
How big was karate in the, like when you were
I'm from Long Island. That was everybody at least tried karate.
I love it.
But now that I think about it, like this, you know, MMA, so huge.
Well, MMA is massive, but I think the karate boom of the 80s was more specifically like white dudes kicking and chopping, not guys in bedazzled shirts choking you at a Hooters.
Right. Well, it was also like a lot of people wearing geese that didn't fit, like a lot of like, how do I, and it's very stiff, you know, like, oh, how do you fight in this kind of thing?
Yeah.
But I, at my gym, when I see the guys do the MMA roll around, you know, they're like rolling around with each other.
The foreplay?
Like, how we got so comfortable watching that. Like, it's just like, nobody gives it any mind, but just like, imagine walking into a place, like you just want to skip some rope.
Yeah.
And it's like two guys in a death crawl on top of each other. And another guy's like, ah, and you know, like, didn't anybody who didn't know that go like, that guy needs help?
I just want to do a set of three sets of 10 on an incline.
And there's another guy like watching it. Yeah. Like, what is this?
You know? Funniest thing I ever saw in a gym was in my high school weight room. We were like going to work out for football. And this guy that no one had ever seen was in like black sweatpants and a black tank top. And he put out a mat and started doing the breakdancing thing.
Oh, really?
But then he never breakdanced.
Wow.
So he was just like, he would just like start it and all of us were watching him like, all right, go. But he didn't know we were watching him.
Oh.
And he would do the thing. He'd be like, no.
But it was in the locker room?
It was in our high school gym.
Wow.
Like in the weight room.
Wow.
And we were like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Because breakdancing, that was also another craze.
Yeah, but I was already kind of old for that.
You were older for that?
I think it's by the time it got out to Long Island, it was definitely like 2 years dead.
I always would love to find out if you had like a breakdancing or karate phase in the 80s. Like a young
Frisbee,
David Tell.
Pot, you know, Taco Bell was big, you know, like that kind of just
you're
like,
just naming stuff
just
I
like
still
normal,
do.
Just normal loser, you know, kind of stuff. But I would say where I come from, it was more importantly about like jobs, like what kind of job do you got?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that guy, he works for the, you know, city and this guy does this. This guy's a stockbroker. This guy over here is a plumber, you know.
Yeah.
So everybody was their job, and it was like really important to have a job. So I'm kind of glad that like I grew up in that world, but it to this day it's like, you know, well, what's wrong with them? Get them a job, you know, like that's kind of thing. Jobs all the time.
You know what's funny is when they said today that the House of Representatives voted to ban TikTok.
Yeah.
The thing on Twitter that everyone was saying was like, now they got to get a job. They're doing that. They're going, now they got to get a job.
Right.
Go get a job, TikTokers.
Get them down to the border.
Yeah.
That's always connecting issues.
Stop the border. Get a job.
Well, let me ask you this as a guy on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, like Taylor, I think rules, like, you know, like they're probably going to study her career and her moves, and like she doesn't seem to make a wrong move, you know. And like the whole thing,
nothing
with
but green lights,
with re-energizing football, like which is what she did basically, you know. The ratings on the game like went up and all that kind of stuff. But I did like love like when they were like wondering if she was going to make the Super Bowl, to see her boyfriend, and like we kept making fun of it, like where like her songs are all about like loss and regret, that like she's in Tokyo doing, you know, to a sold out, you know, whatever it is,
Egg Dome,
whatever it is. Yeah, Tokyo and Dome. Like, and whatever he left me. Okay, good night, everybody. I have to get on a private jet and go see my boyfriend at the Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm not really a loser.
Yeah, I just sing about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just make a lot of money talking about it.
You stupid bitches are going to sleep alone, but
yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah.
There was a thing, you know.
If you guys ate ice cream, you'd be eating it right now.
Taylor Swift catches a lot of shit. Taylor Swift catches a lot of shit.
She's awesome. She's a year from being old enough to be president.
She's 34?
Yeah, she's a year away from, like, she can run for president.
And
she probably would win, honestly. Yeah, she probably
could,
would.
She probably could.
Yep.
We might get there. We might get to the point where people, like...
If they ever let people under 75 years old be a president, then, yeah, maybe she has a chance.
We say it's 35, but really it's 75.
It is now. They should raise it so it wouldn't look so odd.
Well, they say, they said that on her South American tour, because she catches shit for how much she flies private.
Well, she has to, though.
Yeah. She can't fly on
Delta. How is that? She's going to get on a regular airplane?
People would scream.
I mean, that would be terrible.
She'd have to wear, like...
She can't even probably go to a real airport. There has to be, like, some Area 51 she has to go to. Like,
just 16 floors
below.
She
has a transporter or something. Yeah.
I bet she gets beamed places.
Yeah, probably.
They already have that technology. Because if she went into a regular airport, she would cause chaos.
It would shut the place down.
Yeah, anywhere she goes in public. It would cause... But they were giving her shit because she flew home every night of her South American tour. That's what one article said. That really? Every night she would perform in South America, fly back to New York, sleep, and then go back to South America.
Oh, that's weird. I wouldn't do that.
That is weird.
Well, maybe that had something to do with just like...
What's what we were talking about. You don't sleep until you get home.
Yeah, I guess so.
So maybe she's like, listen, I'm doing arenas. I'm doing football stadiums.
But like when you're saying sleep, she probably went to L.A. Like she didn't come all the way to New York, did she?
I don't know. The article was saying that she flew back to New York.
I think she's also the canary in the coal mine for this city. The minute she moves out of here... Good luck. It is going to be barter town.
You think honestly, we fucking leave?
I think she is actually powering this whole city right now with her taxes.
Her economy is...
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
That is so funny. The second she moves, I'm like, guys... Get going.
Yeah.
Back up.
Just you're going to see people breaking off just like things that just are, you know, like not that it's not happening now.
But. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think New York was, it's funny because, you know, after COVID, I'm from Colorado. So a lot of my friends would be like, how's New York? Is it really scary? And you're like, it's a little bit sketchier, but it's still New York.
Yeah.
It's not like horrible.
I think it sucks. But,
you think it sucks?
As an old man now looking at it, but, you know, that's always looking at things through old eyes. I mean, you could see it a lot, especially, like, down in the village, like, on the weekend, where it's, like, the 20-somethings of our time now are out. They're all dressed up. They're ready to party. You know, I know they're smiling and laughing on the outside, but inside it's their student loan debt that really holds them back. It doesn't look like any of that, by the way. It's just the bottle service, all that kind of stuff. But they're out. It's like, this is their New York now. So, for them, there's this is what's going to be normal, that when they look back on it years from now, you know, when they're eating cat food in a place they can't afford, they'll be like, hey, you know what? I remember when, like, you know, cigarettes were only $20 a pack, you know, that kind of thing. So
when I quit smoking 11 years ago, it was $12.65 a pack.
Oh my God.
What is it now?
You'd have to go to like probably Oklahoma to get that kind of a smoke.
Really?
Now.
That bad?
Like there's so many like places where smokes are like still cheap. But
are they up to $20?
Yeah, it's 19 something a pack for these. It's
19 for bucks for American Spirits?
Yeah.
19 flat or like 19.65? Like you give them a 20
I don't know on the spectrum. It's in the 19 to $20
thing. I need to know or I'll freak out, Dave.
Well, how about the price of weed now that they semi-legalize whatever? Talk about a horrible rollout.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible. By the way, a lot of those dispensaries you see walking around here aren't even real.
Yeah, they're illegal.
They're illegal dispensaries.
They sure are.
Yeah, they don't even sell real weed.
They didn't think about that.
No.
That's what... The beauty of this town is
you have to
it's
look
a town
up.
Powered by business, by people who've never actually been in a business. But why can't people just be honest? I don't get it.
The corruption in this city is so crazy that when they legalize weed, you're like, it'll take 5 more years to get
here?
Yeah.
Like Colorado is already, what drug are you guys up to now?
Mushrooms.
Like, mushrooms. So there you go.
I think they probably are moving on to acid at this point.
I bet you, you know what? That might be funny, but I bet you they will have like LSD, like a place where like, you know, like in Vegas, you can throw axes and smash it.
Yeah, I mean,
you like can do that. Probably a place like the LSD room.
Yeah, you know? A trip tank.
A drip tank.
There you go. We're just going to put you in this room. You could trip your dick off.
That would be great. And like wearing a special suit so you can't hurt anything.
Yeah, you can't even go. And then, you know, when your acid wears off, they let you out.
Oh, that would be really cool. Yeah. And they'll probably dumb down the acid where it's just like, you know, take all the bad trips out of it. You know, re-engineer it.
What they're doing now, because I brought a bunch of weed with me back from California, is it's so powerful.
Is it?
Yeah, that you're like... You smoke some weed and you're like, I think I'm genuinely losing my mind.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy. Because I grew up, I've been smoking weed since I was 15, and it's just progressively got more and more powerful.
Wow.
To where you're kind of like, yeah, I can only have a little bit.
What about those gummies? I hear about those all the time. Are gummies those more stronger?
Yeah. They're like up to like 2,000 milligrams or whatever. And then you eat it and you almost go mentally insane.
Do you smoke weed? You don't look like a weed guy. You seem like an
ale. Oh, he's a weed guy.
Seems like an ale man to me.
Yeah, just drink it old.
Good ale on the beard.
It's he has to wipe it like this, like an old
Viking. Dog comes in and licks it off.
Yeah, he's actually a mead guy.
A mead man.
Yeah, he likes mead.
I like that too.
Honey that is worn.
Yeah. What is that again? It's like just terrible. It's
fermented honey.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I'm glad that the weed is better. You know, I think it's hard on these kids now. They have to test all the drugs, right?
They have to worry about fentanyl.
Yes.
Which is nothing back in your fun days.
I play all the fentanyl towns. I was in San Diego, Portland. I mean, I play all of these towns where it's like fentanyl. You can smell it. It's in the air.
Oh, that fentanyl breeze.
Yeah, it's coming in off the water.
When I was in San Diego doing American Comedy Company one time.
That's a great club, by the
way. Love that club.
Great club.
After the shows, they used to do these like really organized meet and greets, and this guy handed me a joint just out of it or whatever, and this was like 6 years ago. He just put it in my hand and he goes, don't worry, there's no fentanyl in that one. And I was like, I just started hearing about fentanyl.
Yeah,
I was like, well, I'm throwing this away.
Exactly.
Why would you say it's not in here?
But that part of town where the American Comedy Club, that
Gaslight
is
District,
the partiest, partyingest party part of town.
You go outside and it's insane.
It's really like, you know, to be honest, you know, I walk around a lot during the day. So, you know, it's that town is built for guys like me.
Yeah.
Who like is like a lot of unhoused, a lot of bad choices, that kind of stuff. So I blend right in with them.
Do people start following you around like the Pied Piper when you go there?
No, it's really funny.
They go, our leader is back.
I haven't done this on stage in a while, but I was like telling everybody, like, you know, my crowd, you know, deserves more than what just jokes. So here it is. And I would give the code to the bathroom at Panera Bread. I go, believe me, I've been there. It's a good bathroom. So that's like one of my jokes that I do now. But I was just like, you know, it's a town of winners, and then it has this sadness to it with that ever. But that one area, that party kind of spring break area, it's like always spring break there. Yeah. Like in Disney World, it's always like Christmas, you know? So it's like always, and they're like fighting on the streets and it's the cops nuts. Just whipping around and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, you know, I didn't grow up in that kind of world. Like we had a later last call.
Sure.
I think a lot of it has to do with this 1:30 last call.
It's the 2 a.m., 1:30 that really, because... You're right. New York's 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So people don't care. They're just like going to drink. And then if they're up till 4, well, then they're up till 4.
Yeah.
The 2 o'clock feels like we're running out of time.
People, they power.
They get too drunk.
What's it in Denver again?
2 a.m.
Okay.
It's 2 a.m. I think it's 2 a.m. most places. I think 4 a.m. in New York is pretty rare.
I forgot how spread out Denver is. I was at the Comedy Works and I was just like, you know, I want to do this. And it's like, oh man, that's like 10 blocks away. Yeah. And they're like real blocks. You know,
you got to drive everywhere. Denver, you know, is a cow town until the
70s. One wheel board.
Oh yeah, you can do the one wheel board.
That's another town. I think that was the first place I saw like one of those one wheelers.
Oh, today I'll tell you right now, man. Growing up in Colorado, alternate forms of transportation are always big.
Mm.
Fleece vests and anywhere that isn't just regular old car or walking.
Or how about just a woman nursing?
Yeah,
something.
It really is
nursing
funny.
A something as she's on a boogie board.
Because there is like a hippie element to Denver, but then there's also like the conservative outdoorsy type, which no one ever talks about, where they're like,
or there's people there that don't like the outdoors too, and I'm like, so why are you living here?
That was me.
If you don't ski, like, but I thought you had to ski to live here. I thought that was like part of your like DNA to your skiers. And there's people like, no, I just love the other thing you do there.
There's a popular omelets, the omelets, the green chili, and the legal weed. There is a fraction of the population in Denver that resents skiing,
really,
but won't ever be vocal about it.
Will they vote for Nikki Haley?
Will Nikki Haley win Colorado?
I don't appreciate skiing.
Back to Kate Middleton. Where is she? Is she eating enough? Is she sleeping? Yeah.
But I always loved your stories of growing up in Denver, because I like that's another town that you romanticize, like how different it really is.
Oh, yeah. Know? But it you realize that it just doesn't have stuff.
Yeah.
Like you moved. I moved to New York and I'm like, oh, they have everything here. Mm-hmm. That's why I could never live in another city.
That's why people, when they leave New York, they're like, now I'm into it. I want to go to a musical. It's too late.
Yeah.
I really could use an art gallery. Yeah. Well, you had that. You didn't want it.
I want a bodega that's the size of a closet that only sells Kit Kats and diet sodas. Yeah, that was the thing where when I, living here, whenever I go somewhere else, I just go like, oh, they don't have everything. They don't have, like, it's hard to get food. You know that on the road?
Oh, I've
because you eat late. Louis told me you usually eat after shows.
Yeah, we go out, like, that's like the hunt. It's like the hunt for late night food. And, you know, they're like Googling stuff and we're asking, like, you know, we usually go to the biggest person at the club, meaning weight wise. Hey, you kind of would know this. Is there like a late night? No, I don't know anything about that. I cook at home. Yeah. You know, that kind of weird thing.
People don't realize being fat is actually a skill.
Well, in Philly, which is a great food town, we were with a guy who was, you know, like larger. A big guy. And like we were using him almost as like a bloodhound. Like he'll smell it. He's got to find it. I mean, he must feel it.
Yeah.
There's got to be something open.
Every time you go to a city, you got to find a taste oracle.
Yeah.
Find me. Well, like, find me tasty
just
things.
Just listen to your gut. Yeah. Where is it? Two blocks up?
Oh, you hear grumbling. You go, which way is his nose facing?
And the worst part of no late night food is the one place like a Wawa becomes like a scene, like a circus, you know? And it's like,
it is. There was a Wawa on Market Street when you do Helium, when they were over by the hotel. There was, it's shut down now because so many people were destroying it.
Yeah, no, they were like the teens were going in.
The teens.
Yeah. And wilding in there.
But they were. They were wilding out. They were like breaking shit. And you're like, I just want a sandwich. I went there one time at like 1 a.m. after Friday night shows. And all I wanted was a sandwich. And I felt like
hours.
I don't know if this is worth it. This is this is a risk.
You know, it's like one of those where you're like, I'm not pulling my credit card out because I think that's a tell in this situation. I'll just pay cash.
Yeah, you're just doing it. You're just a bag of change so no one fucks with you.
But I think, you know, Louis, who is a Louis Cass, a very funny comic, you should check out his special. Yeah,
his special's great on YouTube.
But he's like a foodie. Like, he loves different types of food.
He eats a lot.
He eats a lot, too, which is weird.
And since we both go on the road with Louis, you know, there's moments where he'll be like, I need to eat. And me and you, I eat just like you.
Because of his high-intensity act. The way he eats is like, so what are you going to do up there? Zip line or something? It's like, no, I'm going to talk to a microphone.
He's flexing his core the entire time.
That's right.
He's just sitting there like, But he told me one time before a show, I think we were in Sacramento, he's like, I've got to eat something or else I'm going to get very grumpy. Like he's...
What?
Like he's the Incredible
What's
Hulk.
The difference?
Yeah. Where I was like, all right, well, because I'm very casual about it. I'm like, we'll eat after the show. We'll find something. Mm-hmm. But Louis was like, I have to eat now and then I'll eat after the show.
And I can't eat before I go on because I already feel like kind of like low and like... I like the pop you get from like hunger, you know, like to bring up.
I absolutely
agree. It gets me angry and it gets me ready to go.
Yeah, I like the angry part, but I don't like eating because I do feel lethargic and sleepy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like, plus it's hard to perform.
I might have to do a backflip up there.
Yeah, you know? Everyone knows you do a high acrobatic act.
If things aren't going well, then I'll backflip off the stage.
dude, how else are you going to play that recorder? You need the fuel.
I mean, I have a lot of tricks. You know,
has TSA ever fucked with your recorder?
No, but it's funny because when you take it apart, it looks like a lot of other things.
It
comes apart three. There's three things to it, like an AR-15.
Really?
It's like, I'm blindfolded doing it.
Do you have like a little case?
No, I got rid of that.
In the green room, like a sniper rifle?
You know, it's really, you know, I was like, you know, the recorder, blah, blah, blah. I started before the pandemic and like I knew some tunes, but I can't remember them because I'm old now. But it really is good for two things. They say dementia, like learning an instrument is the way to go. And then also for COPD, you know, this was like
getting your breath out.
It's a win-win, you know.
Yeah.
And I can tell when I don't play for a couple of days, like it's like I can feel like, all right, guys, that's it for tonight.
Sorry, guys, I didn't do my warm-ups.
Come see me.
You know what was fun? It was during the pandemic, a lot of the shows here were outside and we were both people that were doing a lot of spots outside. Yes. And so what would be fun is you wouldn't really know because they couldn't announce it because comedy was illegal.
True.
De Blasio made it illegal.
I can't wait for the movie about the pandemic comedy.
You can't go outside.
We'll be replaced by marginalized groups, I hope.
Yeah. You know. I can't wait to be played by a lesbian Asian.
But the point of it was, like, we were like unsung heroes, like the Newsies. Remember that musical? Like, they're news kids, but they're fighting the Nazis.
Well, the funniest part was, I've never bombed in front of so many heroin addicts than just being outside during the pandemic and watching them be like, this sucks. I'm going to go do heroin in the park.
Well, how about the just the sounds of first of all, ambulances whipping around
all the
with
time.
People who are dying, and then helicopters, like, all the time. It was just like, you know, I always bring up Red Dawn,
that movie,
and it was like, so here we are in the re-education camp, and I'm going to give you a little speech. That was like when we did the car shows. It was like another, like, nightmarish. We did one with Jay. We drove all the way down to, like, right outside D.C.
Yeah.
And, like, we're so excited. Like, we're going to get paid.
We're going to do show.
And when we were there, it was just, like, one of those, like, like, it was, like, Midnight Express. Like, just terror.
I did a show down on the Lower East Side, and the guy was... It was in the middle of the summer, like right during Black Lives Matter. And then we were doing a show, and comedy was illegal. And he goes, all right, if the cops show up when you're on stage and you have the mic, just start protesting. I was like, about what? He goes, I don't know, make something up. And he goes, just start protesting.
Wow.
I
was
like, that's such a funny way out of it. If I heard a cop car, like, whoop, whoop. And I'm like, hey, that's why the man can't be taking me down. But my favorite part about the pandemic shows were, because you didn't know who was on the lineup, I would turn a corner and hear,
oh, you knew.
And I was like, oh, Tell's on the show. Awesome. And I was almost mad that I missed your set. Because I was like, because you just be outside and you just hear it, like, down the street. Recorder's coming off the building.
But I remember, like, the stand was, I would say, that was our Madison Square Garden for outdoor shows.
That's where I bombed so many times.
But across is some kind of city agency.
That's what it
is. And the guy would always stand out there, this guy, like, with a million keys. And he would just look at us like, man, that's just stupid.
And then they started doing some sort of funding for underprivileged people. So there was all these people really going through it.
Yeah.
And then they were watching us go through it because no one was laughing. So outside bombing.
People love, like, a failure like that. And then what was the other place? At the Cellar, when they put up the plexiglass, that to me was, like, you know, a humbling experience for all of us. Because I've been to, you know, rub out booths, but I never saw the other side of the plexiglass.
Oh,
so now
I
did.
It feels like.
So now much respect to the people in that trade.
Big J compared it to the tubes where you pick up dollars, the Blizzard Bucks. He goes, what are we getting the Blizzard Bucks here? But it really felt like you were in line, like you were a serial killer standing trial in the future.
And how about this, like Logan's Run style? There is a place, it's called Soul Joel's. If you can get there, it's an outdoor venue, and they're going to pay you.
But honestly, and here's the honest God truth, when you did Soul Joel's, you were like, oh, this is
great.
This is, feels like...
If this is the future of comedy, I'm in.
It felt like you were like, that's real water.
Yeah.
There's real water coming out of here. Everyone was, I mean, because then, dude, when people found out Soul Joel's was good, it got booked, like,
reach
out, and he'd be like, 2 months from now,
maybe. He is the Oscar Schindler. He saved a lot of lives, that guy.
You've gotten four more shows.
But I love that guy because he really, like, you know, he's like a forward thinker. Like, he has that new venue. It's like he's got an outdoor dome. He now owns his country club.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably like they train spies there or something. Like, underneath it is something else.
You go, you know that it was actually an Al-Qaeda cell in the United
States.
There's
something underneath that. Like, there's guys, you know, like ninja stars.
There's just us going, like, it's good shows. Yeah,
we're the write-off.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, man, this guy, look at this guy. Like, I'm like, how are you able to do this? And so quickly, isn't there, like, ordinances and stuff like that? Like, no, they don't care as long as, you know, this and that and that. And I'm like, wow, dude, you're going to jail. Yeah. I'm like, that's crazy.
Well, he built the giant dome, the Thunderdome.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it just became like a real comedy club.
Yeah.
Because I did one without the dome and it was great. And I immediately got off stage. I was like, can I come back and do that again? And he's like, yeah, we're going to put like a, almost like a hangar. It was like an airplane hangar.
Yeah.
But it worked fucking phenomenal. And people knew to BYOB, bring your own chairs, all that stuff.
Yeah, it was him. And then Chappelle was doing his shows, you know, which was like the way he kind of did that with the
testing. Yeah, but you had to be a Hall of Fame white to get the invite. Chappelle wasn't letting no run-of-the-mill whites.
He was hold it on, save for the election. But it was cool.
Don't worry, November will hear me.
And I remember people on the road would tell me, like, I'm driving down to spring, I'm going to that show, I'm so excited, and you have to test and all that kind of stuff. So there were a couple of hot spots. I know in L.A., from what I heard, of course, they take it to the next level. It was like one of those where, like, a parking lot with a circle, and, like, you could buy the circle, and they would have, like, some wine there for you, some veg, like, some fruit.
A crudite.
You know, like, it's like a VIP-only gift bag for coming to see a parking lot show.
Well, Michelle Wolf was living, like, on Chappelle's property.
Right.
So she was doing all those shows.
Yeah.
And at first, I was like, that's so awesome. This is so cool. And then I slowly started getting jealous because we were doing rooftop shows and all these shows that kind of sucked. And then she started posting the pictures of who was there. And I was like starting to get jealous because it was like Louis C.K.,
right,
John Stewart, like all these guys or whatever. And I woke up one morning and I was just like, all right, I'm jealous. I'm just very jealous.
Really?
I got like actually mad where I was like, what's the next picture, Michelle? You with my dead dad? What are you just bragging about all these people that you got to do comedy with? Because it was, when that happened, it was like you were desperate to get stage time.
But you know, she's super cool and she's a great.
She's one of my best friends.
But how many other people were locked in with a guest?
Oh.
You know, it's like they just came over like that day, like, hey, I want to see that new couch you bought, and then pandemic. Now they're trapped in this house with people.
Now we're roommates.
Yeah, I guess we could put them up in the attic or something.
I can't really complain because I mean I got lucky as far as Katie and I had been dating for about 6 months,
nice,
and it worked out. But I knew a lot of couples that were like at that same stage.
What about the solo people?
I know. Well, you came on the bonfire, and I love that because you had just moved into your new place.
Yeah,
or at the time it was your new place,
right?
And I love that you're like, I'm not smoking in here. I'm not smoking in here.
Yeah, I didn't last.
And then by the second or third time you're on the bonfire, you're just smoking, and we're like, Dave, you smoking? You're like, I'm smoking in here now.
Yeah, well, but you know,
I get it.
I will say one thing that you know, as we move further away from those times, you know, I was going to say, like, you know. I personally think that the crowds popped so hard after that. They were so excited to be back out. And then, like, that kind of powered this comedy boom. But, you know, I'm always waiting. Every day I wake up and it's like, you know, comedy over, juggling in. You know, I'm waiting for that news story, you know.
Were you in comedy the first time the bubble collapsed?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah? And was it like gradual or was it sudden?
It was so, it's like I passed the Catch a Rising Star and then the roof fell on me.
No, yeah, that's funny. So funny. Like,
the actual club falls on you. No, it was a gradual
But did you start seeing it because you were like out
doing? I was working the door at the comedy, at the Improv in New York, and I could see it. And it's like, you know, from that Boston thing, which I never was good enough to do that when it was booming. So I was there on the we're already done with comedy cupcake, sweetheart, whatever they call you.
You get in late?
They were done. Like, it was the people coming out to see it now were like the people who didn't get the memo that comedy wasn't cool anymore. So they were the worst of the worst.
Yeah, they're like, I don't even know what this is. And you're like,
then it slowly started building again, but I would say that it took to the mid-90s, if not longer. Comedy Central had a big part in the redo of comedy, but it also, there was too much comedy, and then there wasn't enough comedy. Then there was a lot of generic comedy. So, you know, like, I don't know how people do it. Like, how many hours a day can you devote to comedy? You know, like, you listen to a podcast, that's an hour plus, and then you go see a show. That's a lot. You know, I feel like you're good, you know? Well, but then some people, then it's the TikTok loop. Then it's something else.
Vecchione told me that he, you know, he's opening for Nate on the road doing
two these, great comics right there. Two
phenomenal comedians. Yeah. And Dave, he's on the road with Nate doing these arenas, and he said he was in Kansas City Super Bowl weekend. He just told me this, and he opened for Nate. Nate was like, come by and do a guest set because he's doing a 3 p.m. show at the arena. And Vecchione at the end of his set was like, hey, I'm at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. And people came to his shows that night. So they went from a show to another show.
Wow.
Which amazing. Is crazy.
Well, that's Skankfest for you.
Yeah.
I mean, those people get online in the heat. Go see a show, get out of the show, really nice, super fans, get back online, go see another show.
Yeah, so that's it's pretty like amazing. Hot in some of those rooms, and you're like, I can't believe you guys are doing this all
day. I mean, it really is like, you know, I give Christine and Lewis a lot of credit for, like, you know, it's sad with the loss of Just for Laughs, you know. Sure. Or is that AI? Is it still going on, Dan?
Or is JFL our Kate Middleton?
What is going on up there? Has anyone been up there?
Is JFL dead? Is it alive?
Speak, mimes. The mimes aren't talking.
All the French people are going like, how am I going to go dress like a duck? It is.
That was the funny thing about Just for Last, where it was like, you know, I was there in the beginning when like people were like getting these huge deals.
Yeah.
And then it became like, you know, there's a lot of bookers.
Yeah.
And then it became like, could you fly yourself up and put yourself up and then kind of Jason Bourne your way out of this town, fight through the French biker gangs? Yeah, the giant, I'm like, I don't care.
The puppets, the giant minarets that are just walking around.
Then it's like, you know, they got something going on at Tim Hortons. You might want to check that out. But the people who ran it were big comedy fans. It's just like, it's kind of weird that kind of fell apart.
Yeah, so. And it did kind of suddenly.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I was up there last year and the year before, and you didn't think it was like booming.
Well,
it was really popular.
Maybe they'll reboot it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they got some big minds. I heard they're talking to the guy who started WeWork and this FTX guy.
They're getting all the big brands.
Yeah, the Fry Fest guy. He wants in.
The special Hot Cross Buns, March 16th on Netflix.
It's
March
great.
26th.
Yes, and Dan, we don't spend enough time, but when we do, it's awesome. So thanks, dude. Congrats to you and your lady.
I truly think you are one of the greatest comedians of all time. You are one of my favorite comedians of all time. Hulk Hogan loves you.
Thank you.
So we do this thing on the
pod. I didn't know you were a child psychologist. Pick a character off the thing. Who are you?
Who's your dad and who are you?
Who are you?
You can tell I didn't have a father by my bookcase.
And with all your analog books here.
If I would have had one guy go, you're like a queer, I would have pulled down my little wrestling men immediately and gone to work at a real job. David Tell.
Thank you, brother.
The special is Hot Cross Buns, March 26th on Netflix. It's one of the greatest comedians of all time.
And I'm on the road, so come out and see me live. That's always the best. So DavidTell.com.
DavidTell.com.
Thank
always,
you guys.
Always brings awesome comics with him, like Louis Katz, Ian Fidance.
Oh, so many cool ones.
I don't know why I said Ian's name all fucked up. Ian Fidance. Check him out. He's the best.
Thank you.